And good morning again, everybody, and welcome to Thursday, the 11th of August. It is Oliver Callan on Shot, in situ until 10 o'clock. Thursday, it's like the middle age of the week. It's not as young and free as Monday, but it wants to party like it's Saturday. The text is 51551, and the email is ryan@rte.ie. I'm on the Instagram at the Oliver Callan, and I don't know about you, but I'm already dreaming of the rain. Do you know what I've now completely forgotten about, because beautiful blue skies and sunshine, and it's all well and good, but I'm just not quite, you know, I'm hankering after the sodden, wet, dark afternoon of downpours and misty, splashy sky on the ground, ducks in their wellies. Sort of, that's what I want. That's the sort of day I'm looking for now, because I'm ungrateful. Now, that said, I do love the evenings in the heat wave of a sunny day, you know, still wearing shorts until 10 o'clock outdoors, because we forget, you know, what it's like in a normal evening, a nice evening, even a normal summer. You start to put on the long pants around about 8:30, and then suddenly there's a fleece goes on, and then you're talking about patio heaters, you know. But anyway, we'll be fine. I'm not up for the heat. I mean, you know, to look at me, I wouldn't be fit out for Love Island. You know, the casting directors wouldn't be considering me for the next season. Mind you, Love Island over 40s. That's a show I would watch. Love Island over 40, you know. Be all muffin tops and four chins per head, hairy ears. Love Handles Island. That's a better show. It's more authentic, I think. Now, what are we on about today? Well, I was talking about spiders yesterday, and anecdotally people are telling me that they feel spiders are a bit more active than they usually are this time of the year and frightening the bejapers out of people. But of course, something that feels true may not necessarily be true. So we got zoology wizard Colly Ennis from Trinity College Dublin. He's going to be here this morning, and he's got jars of things that will make us all squirm. So you can ask him everything you want about spiders. It's later on this morning. 51551, that's the text number. Slightly related, actually, I had an occasion to use Sudocreme, you know, that great Irish staple, from a bite from something the other day, and because it cures everything, you know. And I really saw the label for the first, you know, it's so familiar to us that I really looked at the label and I was reading it, and the main uses it has: napkin rash, eczema, bed sores. And I thought, napkin rash? And it's like mishearing lyrics and then hearing them properly for the first time. So I'm only discovering at the age of 41 that nappy is short for napkin. Your baby out there is wearing a napkin. So we obviously use British English, don't we, in this country. So therefore it should be serviette. Napkin is an American thing. So there you are now. You can go on and announce the next time that you're off to change the baby's serviette. Sudocreme. Sudocreme, it should be really, isn't it? Because there's no E at the end. And apparently it was a soothing cream. And because it was made in a part of Dublin where they were going Sudan, that the D comes in. There's a history there. There's a history there. Now, what's going on around the newspapers today? It's from Cabra. Yes, from Cabra. Sudocreme. Sudocreme. That's where it comes from. And it's sold in other countries now. I think in Belgium and in the Netherlands and so on. The Brits have it as well. In the newspapers today, the seagulls are around the place, and there's a call to cull the gulls. This happens every summer, but they are wreaking havoc again, the seagulls. Fianna Fáil Councillor said it's time to cull the gulls. Birds are wreaking havoc in the city centre. Finglas Ballymun Councillor Keith Connolly is calling on Dublin City Council to look at the possibility of culling them. The seagulls are a protected species under European law, but exceptions can be made in certain circumstances. So there's a big increase in gulls around the centre of Dublin City. Some people have been moving out of their homes. Some eggs were moved from Balbriggan in 2017 to control. It's not really working. And the noise they make, and they do tend to gather on certain houses and make a squawking noise. I was walking through Dublin city centre the other day, and I saw the gulls doing these kind of, you know, Top Gun Maverick manoeuvres, and the unsuspecting people on St. Stephen's Green didn't know what was coming. They're daring them to open a bag of chips. And you hear about them dive bombing through the sunroofs of cars and through windows. It's straight the terror for you. But anyway, that's been discussed, and the councillor has written to Owen Keegan, Dublin City Council, to discuss a possible cull. And they have those kites, don't they, that look like predatory birds to scare off the seagulls, but they don't appear to be working. Now, to small dogs, men with small dogs are more attractive, apparently. New research showing that petite pooches are sexy. And this writer in the London Times is telling us that she her boyfriend has a little dog and she can't keep women away from him because they keep dashing over to him to admire the cute little pooch. And it helps men to beguile women. A Spanish study discovered that the presence of any dog of any size made female respondents feel more at ease, but a small little Bijou hound performed even better as chick bait. So there you are now. A fella with a small yappy dog, sexy as hell. You can forget the gym, you can forget Connell's GA shorts or driving a Porsche while your hair is starting to thin out. You just need a Westland Terrier and off you go. The women will be dropping at your feet. I think the key word in that study is a Spanish one, dare I say. So, you know, they're different. They're different over there. And the women go a little crazy for the tiny little, look at him with his little dog. Something like that. Now, there's Hitler wine for sale in supermarkets in Italy and has naturally, as you'd expect, provoked outrage in Germany and Austria. It's being sold in Italy because they don't have the rules that Germany and Austria have, where you can't put swastikas or fascist imagery on anything, particularly products for sale. But in Italy, there's a loophole. They don't have it. So what's causing their angst? Well, the German tourists are snapping up these Hitler wine. I mean, it's literally a bottle of wine with Hitler's face on it, the swastika, the whole lot, with the slogan, the full slogans, Mein Führer, Sieg Heil, the whole lot, fully there. And there have been calls over the years for a boycott from the Holocaust foundations. But an Austrian cosmetic surgeon spotted this and has now started the campaign. We need to ban these things. So it's an Italian winemaker. He produces dictator-themed wines for over 25 years. So he's got Stalin, Lenin, Che Guevara, Napoleon, Franco, people like that, who everyone goes, it's ironic, it's hilarious. But when you start going down the route of Hitler now, it gets people a little bit up. Mind you, if you found yourself drinking too much, then an old bottle of wine with Hitler's face on it might put you off the wine. Did they think of that? Maybe that's what the Germans do be at. BBC News informs us that Ryanair boss Michael O'Leary has announced that the era of 10 euro flights is over. Well, it's a long time since I came across a flight for 10 euro anyway. But he says the era is over because of the soaring cost of fuel. He's saying there's no doubt that the lower end of the marketplace are really cheap promotional fares. The 1 euro fares, the 99 cent fares, even the 9.99 fares. I think lots of those fares in the next no years, Mr. O'Leary told BBC Radio 4's Today programme. I presume that was the tone he used. You know, he's one of those amazing people. He's like a fellow with a headache that kind of wants to pass it along. Do you know what I mean? I mean that in a semi-complimentary fashion. The Meath Chronicle informs us that thatching and schools of thatching are needed to save an ancient tradition. Safeguarding the future of the traditional Irish cottage requires investment in the art of thatching. We were talking about blacksmithing, you might remember yesterday. And they need financial support towards the high cost of maintaining the thatch roofs. According to Senan MacThomas Dixon, who lives in a thatch cottage outside Clonard in Meath, it's been in his family for generations. And he tells the Meath Chronicle here that the thatch was taken off it for many, many years and it was just used as a shed at one stage, but then it became a home again. And in the 90s, his uncle renovated and put the thatch roof back on. And he says now that it's due maintenance again, the roof, but it's going to cost €5,000. So he's saying, well, we need the specialist tools, we need the thatching craftspeople, and we need the money. And he wants to keep this going. It would obviously be cheaper for him just to put a regular modern roof on it. But he's a big interest in local history and built heritage, and he wants to save the thatching. An estimated 20 to 25% of thatched cottages have been lost in Ireland over the last 20 years. So only 1,000 of them are left today. And it's like an iconic, and it's recognised around the world, our thatched cottages. Now, in Eurovision news, Ireland could end up hosting the Eurovision by accident. But up north, so Belfast is submitting a bid to host the Eurovision 2023, you know, is won by Ukraine and the Kalush Orchestra. But Ukraine obviously can't host it. So the European Broadcasting Union looked around and said, well, the Brits, you came second, do you want to do it? And said, yeah, well, actually, we will. And so the cities are all competing and there will be a shortlist announced on Friday. And Belfast City Council has agreed to submit an official bid. So there you go. It could be happening up north where they've never had it before. And who gets to decide it? The BBC. And the European Broadcasting Body, they get to decide where it's being held. 51551. God, Oliver, don't be even think about the rain. Think of us trying to make hay and silage for a few more days, says. And it's a hashtag urban Egypts Well, you know, I'm not an urban. Well, I suppose I probably am an urbanite at this stage, aren't I? I still live on the lie that I'm still down in the farm and that, you know, I know the difference between hay and straw, which half of the urbanites really don't. But look, I'm a member of the establishment now. I just have to give up. God, it's so sad. Pseudocream is a staple in skincare too. They are even selling it now in little kits like the small Vaseline tin for your lip, for your lips. I never leave for a trip away without it. Cure-all and so smoothing. Yes, I have the little, there's a little tiny screw-off thing. It's in a plastic thing. And it's actually the amount of size. If you don't have babies in your house, it's probably the right amount that you need because you have to update it every year apparently. Oliver, I've also just discovered Napkin yesterday on the Pseudocream tub. You as well? I've been using it solidly for 4 years on my kids' bums. So there you go. It's a thing that's so familiar, you never really read it. There you go. And I hope the kids have grown up now and they're using Pseudocream. It's a nice smell as well, isn't there, Pseudocream? Was there petrol in that one? Was there petrol in that one? What else is happening? Deliveroo are in big trouble. Their losses have soared to £147 million in the first 6 months of the year. What's happening? Well, they would have done very well, obviously, in the lockdowns when people were delivering their dinners to you. So the cost of living crisis. Cost of living crisis. They should call that the cost of everything crisis, shouldn't they? It's affecting the demand for takeaways, people. It's the first thing to go, really. You know, you're going to make the food because you're now in the supermarket. It's dear enough as it is. You're not going to let it rot and throw it in the bin. So Deliveroo is in trouble. And never ordered Deliveroo. Never liked the idea of someone going around with those very uncomfortable looking backpacks. Jokingly referred to sometimes as slaveroo, but they do get paid. They get paid and there is employment from it. But it's not going well at the moment for Deliveroo. I mean, there's a lot of competition as well, isn't there, in other companies? To Hollywood and issues and the arts, I suppose. Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown. It's a great name, isn't it? Rolls off the tongue. Double barrel. She'd do very well in South County Dublin. Millie Bobby Brown has been talking about coping with hate and harassment because she obviously became a massive child star. 11, she plays on Stranger Things. She was just 12 when that started. Skyrocketed to worldwide fame. And of course, all the horrors and the dreadful. Social media gets the worst of people and the worst of people doing their worst and attacking celebrities and so on. So she's talking about her mental health struggles. And she said some great quotes from her here, I think, in this article. She says, it's really hard to be hated on when you don't know who you are yet. So she's a teenager and all these people are saying horrible things, commenting on her looks, everything about her, everything she says and does. So she says, you start shutting down because you're like, who am I meant to be? Who do they need me to be for them? Then I started to grow more and my family and friends really helped. It helped to be able to understand that I don't need to be anything they said that I need to be. I just have to develop within myself, and that's what I did. So she went through that whole process of kind of going, I don't want to please anyone anymore because they're being idiots. Why do I need the validation of all these clapping seals? I don't care. I need to be happy in myself. And as part of the process, you won't be surprised, she doesn't use social media on her phone ever. She deleted her Twitter and TikTok accounts altogether, and her only active social media platforms, Instagram and Facebook, are managed by someone else entirely, by an office. So what does she do? She communicates with her fans by writing blog posts on her website, which is kind of retro internet. You kind of, this is how I feel, putting it on and there's no comments. And on you go with your life and you feel free and easy. So fair play to you, Millie Bobby Brown. And Stranger Things 5, I think it's 2 years away or something when it comes out. Cameron Diaz, who was a huge star of the 90s in things like There's Something About Mary, The Mask, My Best Friend's Wedding, and she was even Princess Fiona in Shrek. And she kind of disappeared for a while, for the best part of a decade, apparently. Last seen in 2014's Annie. Oh, wow. Okay, that was a poor decision. And then she retired, she said, from acting in 2018. But she's no longer retired because she is now back with a suitably named Back in Action, a Netflix original, which will mark her triumphant return to comedy. Well, we'll decide that, Netflix. Thank you very much. Big news announced on Twitter by the film's co-lead, Jamie Foxx, who never went away and he's in everything, fondly referred to as Any Given Sunday. Jamie, he's one of those actors who got the Oscar, wasn't it, for playing Ray Charles and then just made loads of just random stuff. Although he's like Collateral, where Tom Cruise plays a rare bad guy. Very good film. Very good film now. If you're looking for something for a rainy day, which will come soon. Oh yeah. I've been rubbing that genie's lamp. Now, Sky Arts has listed the top 50 most influential artists of all time. This is Britain's most influential artist, okay? Right, any Irish people? No, it's Britain's, okay. So David Bowie is the most influential artist of the last 50 years, apparently, for his ability to transcend music, film and fashion. He went ahead of 12 Years a Slave, Oscar-winning filmmaker Steve McQueen and It's a Sin writer Russell T. Davis, who revived Doctor Who, which we don't really watch over here, let's face it. Who else is on the list? The Spice Girls? Boy George, Stormzy, Steve Coogan, yeah, with that one. And Banksy, also Ricky Gervais, so Victoria Wood. It's one of those lists, you know, everyone goes, I can't believe you forgot this artist that no one else knows, but I really like indeed. Oh yeah, this is a good thing that's happening. The Irish Independent tells us, Barbara Power, fashion editor, you can go down the scenes. If you love film and the costumes and all that jazz and you want to see them in person and go, how did they do the stitching and can I steal that and make a dress for a wedding, and then you'll try it and it won't work. Well, you can go down to Rusborough House near Blessington in County Wicklow and see all the costumes from the Irish film and television industry. Things such as, well, there's lots of stuff from Normal People, actually. Marianne O'Connell and Normal People. Doesn't say if the GA short. And pieces from the Oscar-winning film The Favourite. Which are in demand from museums around the world, as you can imagine. And particularly for this month and the centenary of The Big Fella, you've got Liam Neeson's army uniform and big coat from the 1996 film Michael Collins. Also, the silky blue dressing gown that Brendan Gleeson wore in The Guard. Well, that's a kind of a memorable scene. Legendary Irish film. It's 51551. That is our text number. The email address is ryan@rte.ie. We're up for business. It's sunny. I'm going to enjoy the sun, okay? Stop saying I need to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. And it's all good when you've got nice music. And that's Troye Sivan there with producer Mark Ronson. Easy, it's called. And it is easy for your nice heatwave summery type of dance tunes. At them. Good morning, Oliver. At the mention of patio heaters, we need to cop on. Forget them. We're in enough trouble without trying to heat the outdoors. Forget washing cars and hosing flowers. Exceptions will be made for the vegetables, though. We need to act before it's an absolute emergency, says Una. Well, actually, it's kind of an emergency already, isn't it? I was just reading about massive rains in Death Valley. Once in a thousand year event, hundreds marooned in the downpour. So what happened the other day in Death Valley in the United States, the Arid Valley was pelted with nearly the park's record rainfall. 75% of the whole year's rain fell in 3 hours, and you've got mud and gravel there. So out in Nevada, it's a bit of a disaster. And it's a place that has all the extremes. They recorded 54 degrees heat last August, which is the highest temperature ever reliably recorded on Earth, because there's a few 19th century ones that are not very believed anymore. Oliver, I love to hear the gulls screaming in the background when our politicians are being interviewed outside the Dáil. The interviewee gets louder and louder trying to outdo the gulls. It's like having a drunken heckler or an irritating member of the opposition overriding them. Brilliant, says Catherine, who looks at the world in a different way. I like the way you do that, Catherine. People go, they're annoying, going, ah, the gulls, they serve a presence. They serve a purpose. Eat flying ants and try to drown out politicians. Geez, would Collie know anything about... Well, this is something for Collie coming in. Will we hold this? We'll hold this. We'll do it now. We'll pose the question now. She's going to come in and talk about spiders. Would you know anything about wasps? We've a nest at the front door. Oh, the front door, up in the eaves. I sprayed the wasp nest spray in last night, but they're still there this morning, flying around and singing na 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 na. Can't get rid of them. Got stung twice already, and that is a plea for help from Ger. Ger, we will endeavour to help you, and on all the spidery questions after the break with Collie Ennis.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
And the spiders have left the building. 51551, that is the text number. Someone was asking, is it true spiders hate chestnuts? And I got the chance to ask Collie Ennis on the way out. And he says, nope, that is not true. So all the stuff we thought felt true, that the spiders are bigger, has turned out to be completely post-truth, fake news, truthiness, no truth in it all, but it's good to have him here to bust that type of stuff. More sunny music. Banana Rama Nama Rama Nama Banana Rama. Cruel Summer there. And before we go, a little story here. My daughter has a phobia about spiders. We're back to Collianis. Some years back, we were renting a house in the country and the spiders were enormous and they were all headed determinedly to her room. We would catch them, put them outside. I was convinced it was the same ones that were coming back in all the time. So I put a dot of Tipex on them to keep track of them, says Marguerite Cork. And Margaret, you might tell us, did the same ones keep coming back or did the Tipex just kill them? But God bless your patience. And we'll finish with lines from Ogden Nash, which came into us on the text. Some insects feed on rosebuds and others feed on carrion. Between them, they devour the earth. Bugs are totalitarian. Oh, there you go. We're out of time. Be kind to spiders out there. Philip Outer Hayes is next, and we're back again tomorrow, Friday.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.